And that leads us perfectly into our next section, which is developing our MVC for controllers. Now, what you're going to notice is that there is an awful lot that goes on behind the scenes with our controllers, and we'll sort of show that to start. Then we'll get in and take a look at how to create our controllers, how to deal with our parameters, and how we're going to send down information into our views. All right. There's a lot on this slide.
Yeah.
Very simple. Don't panic.
The real point is, you
Yes.
don't need to know almost any of this, right? Except
Exactly.
maybe to pass the exam is important, but the idea is in day-to-day development, request comes in and a controller does something.
Yep.
So this is that magic, so that you understand and so you can override it if you need to. This is that magic that the routing calls in and says, "Hey, controller, do something." This is how it wakes up and does something.
Exactly. That really the main thing that I want to highlight on this slide is down here at the very bottom. The controller action invoker runs the action. For those of you that are making the transition from web forms, the biggest difference that you're going to notice is people are not going to navigate to www.something.com products.aspx. That's not what happens. What they're going to do is they're going to put together some form of a URL, they're going to click on a URL, and behind the scenes, that's going to get translated into a call on a method on an action. So the users don't actually realize this, but when you get right down to it, users are calling methods on our controllers. That's all that's happening here. And so what needs to then take place behind the scenes is we need some mechanism to be able to create a brand new instance of that controller and go find the appropriate method. And that's exactly what this slide is walking through, is everything that's going on behind the scenes. At the end of the day, the end result is we are just simply calling a method on a class.
Yep.
That's it.
And the reason that this is there is to allow people have built some really, deep extensions to MVC that will do quite a bit of other, do a lot of other things that will,
Yep.
I don't know, say pull your views out of a database or do all kinds of other things. And so that's where having extension points like this allows for that. So this is how that spins up behind the scenes. But again, I haven't ever written most of the, except for demos, I really have never used any of those. So.
Exactly. Now, if we forward right on over to the next slide, the next thing that you're going to notice is, once again, and I know we keep hitting this point, but it is true, is here's the basic steps for writing a controller action. Step one, create a public method. On that public method, step two, return a class that derives from action method. Number three, add parameters to the method. And then number four, insert the code to, as we technically put it, do stuff. That's it.
That's and there's actually a loophole even in this. Action result is a nice thing that makes it easy to work with a view, but you could even a controller action can return a string, and
Sure.
that string will be magically MVC will bundle that up for you and display it on the screen.
Yeah.
You don't do that
No.
much, but an action result is not a scary, difficult thing. It's
No.
just it allows you return view and it works.
That's that is exactly it. So, again, going back to what we've talked about before, it's just simply a method. And kicking right on over to the next slide, again, you're going to notice this is a method. So we're simply returning action result. We've got it marked as public. There's our little method name, and then there is our little parameter. And then down below, we are doing stuff. There it is.
So this is that inline code that we would, given time, put into a repository. This would
Exactly.
say, when we call get sessions by title, it would say sessions repository dot retrieve by ID or whatever it is.
Exactly, yeah, whatever the method would be, rather than having that embedded right inside of there. Now, you'll also notice down towards the very bottom, if you remember back to earlier this morning, about like, let's say, an hour ago, ballpark? Sure,
Sure.
give or take 10 minutes on either side. One of the things that you noticed is that John created a simple little action, and at the very end of the action, what he did is he returned a view, and he just simply said return view, and that was it. This is a little helper method, and what this is going to do is go find the appropriate view. Now, by default, what will wind up happening, I guess, again, unless you go in and decide to modify this, is it's going to look for a view based on the title. So in our case, it would be get session by title. That's going to be the view that it's going to be looking for. You'll notice, though, that we changed things up a little bit here. And I'm just going to get rid of all my ink just to hopefully clarify some things. But you'll notice right here that what we're doing is we're specifying the name of the view that we want. So in this case, it's going to be looking for a view named details. The other thing that you're going to notice, the second parameter here, you're going to notice is our session. And if you read through the code here, you may notice that the session is the object that we've loaded up. This is what we're going to be passing into our view, which leads us perfectly right to here. Passing data into our view. It's like I've done this before. Now, when we're going to go in and pass data to a view, we've got a handful of different options that are available to us. That number one, you're going to notice that we've got the ability, just like we saw on the prior slide, to pass in a model. This really is, as John mentioned earlier this morning, the preferred mechanism, because this gives us strong typing, that I can throw over the wall a full object. So that way I'm going to get my IntelliSense, and I'm going to get my compile errors as well if I fat-fingered something, which I do on a more than regular basis, really more than I care to admit publicly, but that's a different conversation. So setting up our model is a great way to pass down more complex data. The catch, of course, is exactly that. This can be a little bit more complex, sort of like the repository, just because it takes a bit more work to set up.
So if you want to pass hello, you know, and maybe your food order for the
yes.
day, for instance.
Yes, spaghetti.
That's where the view bag comes in.
Yep.
And that's also handy because if you have a model that has all this complex data and you want to pass over just one more little thing,
yep.
you could throw that in a view. So you can have a model and a view bag, and they both work together.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'll do that quite frequently because a lot of times you just need to send down the title. You just need to send down, you know, some little message saying, hey, congratulations, you completed this.
Right.
Yep. The last option is temp data, and temp data in a lot of ways is just like the view bag, that it's just simply a container that we can go ahead and throw objects into. The big difference with temp data is that this will be available over a redirect. So if you decide inside your action, hey, I need to send you somewhere else, temp data is not going to be destroyed by that.
Right.
And by the way, I'm going to actually make a real quick call out to Rachel Appel, who has a fantastic blog post on when to use each one of these. So if you are interested in a lot more information, Rachel Appel, APPEL, has a fantastic blog post talking about all of these.
So, and if you create a new, if this is seeming like a lot, if you create a new internet application, it's going to show a lot of cases using ViewBag. ViewBag's pretty quick to put up. You throw some stuff in it and you pull it right back out. The model is what we're going to be talking about the rest of the day.
Yep.
And that's really the general case. You're going to want to use a model. It's strongly typed. It's a lot more organized. Otherwise, you're really just kind of throwing stuff in a collection and pulling it out, and it's not very structured.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly. Cool. Well, what do you say we add some controllers?
I vote yes.
Okay. Well, that's good, because otherwise that really would have caused some problems with the flow of the session here. So I'm glad you're willing to come along for the ride. All right. There is my Visual Studio. Perfect. Okay. So let's go in and create our little controller, and you're going to notice that I'm, of course, going to do that inside of our controllers folder. Again, right-click Add, and you'll notice our controller. John actually called this out this morning for creating a view. Control-M, Control-V, make view. Control-M, Control-C, make controller. Just like that. So let me right-click Add. Come here. And I'm going to say controller. And let me go ahead and set up a session controller. Now, inside of here, what you're going to notice is that there are a handful of templates that you can use, which will automatically create a series of different actions for you. And this can help simplify the more common CRUD situation. So that create, retrieve, update, delete, this can help simplify that by going in and automatically creating everything for you. In my case, just because I want to sort of show with our controller, again, no magic here, that I'm going to start with a blank, so that way everything that we're going to be doing, you're going to see, and there's nothing that's been added in automatically by Visual Studio. All right, let's go in and set up our little ad. Now, you'll notice right up at the very top is our little index, mm-hmm. and again, that is typically the default view. And usually with index, what we want to do is display a list of something. And in my case, I'm going to want to display a list of sessions. Again, session controller.
Right.
Notice that convention there. So the first step is to load up our list of sessions. So let's just go ahead and say list session. Whoops. There we go. And let's make sure that we get our using block in. Sessions, and I'm going to create a database context. There we go, context equals new. And let's go ahead and say sessions equals context sessions to list. And then down below, we're going to return back our little view. Now, we can do one of two things here. There's a handful of different ways that we could call that view method. You'll notice the way that I've got it right here is my call to index. So mm-hmm. it's going to look specifically for a view called index.
So if you wanted, you could change the name of that view.
Exactly. So if we had maybe sessions was going to be the name of, right. Of the view, or again, you know, it could be anything at all. It doesn't matter what it's called, just so long as it can find a view based on that name. That's mm-hmm. that's all that matters. So that's one way that we could do is we could specifically say, go find that view. The other way that we could do this is by just leaving it blank. And again, going back to the whole convention thing, if we leave it blank, what's going to happen is it's going to, by default, go looking for a view that matches the name of the action. So since the name of our action is index, mm-hmm. it's going to go find a view called index.
So this is how most of the time when you write a controller action, that's what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
It's going to say return, and it passes the model.
Yep.
And we use a convention to look up the view. It's kind of the standard way that you'll most of the time see your actions work.
Exactly. Like you keep saying, you know, it just works. Just go with it. Just do
so
what it wants you to do.
Change what you want, but most of the time, go with the defaults. It'll go, it's easier. It's,
exactly.
Because they're sensible defaults. That's
yep.
the idea.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. The other part that you'll notice, again, just to highlight it one last time, is like John mentioned, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be sending down the object. So there is our collection of sessions. We're going to be sending all of our sessions down to the view. All right, now let's go with a slightly more interesting case here. Let's go ahead and say public action result. Once again, I'm just creating a method, nothing mm-hmm. fancy. And I'm going to say create. Now, in particular, for those of you that are watching and you've done web forms, this right here is going to be one of the biggest changes that you're going to have. Because when you're doing web forms, what you're doing is you're going to be creating your form, you're going to drag out all your little text boxes, and then you're going to set up a button down at the bottom of that. And the user's going to click on that button, and it's going to perform whatever action it is that needs to be done to create a brand new, in our case, session, let's say. That's all done on one page. That's not the way that MVC is going to work. That with MVC, again, it's all about calling methods. And we really have two steps to this whole process. Step one is we're going to give you the form to fill out. Step two is we're then going to take whatever it is that you've given us and do something behind the scenes with that information. Mm-hmm. So you'll notice quite frequently these opposing pairs, that I'm going to have one action that's going to be responsible for giving you the initial form where you'll fill out the information about the session, and then the second one is going to be the form for the action for actually taking the information that you've given us and passing that back into the database. So you'll notice those pairs together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, let me go ahead and set up my very basic create, and you'll notice on the create here that I'm just simply gonna say, if I can spell view correctly, return view. That's all that I'm gonna do, because there's really nothing else that needs to happen. I just need to make sure that we're gonna display out the form. So we'll just say return view. Then you'll notice on the other side, action result, we'll say create, and this is now going to have the brand new session that you have set up.
Yep.
So inside of our brand new session, now what we're going to do is we're going to create a brand new context. Let's say conference context. Context equals new. Let's go ahead and say context sessions add and add in our session. And let's go ahead and say context save changes.
That's an important step.
Yes.
I've left that off from time to time.
The number of times that I have done that.
Why is it not updating?
Yes. Right. Save changes. Oh, you mean I have to tell it to write to the database.
So you've done all these things, but now you still need to return something, right?
Exactly, yep. Okay. So I still need to return back a view. And this is, again, one of those situations where there's an awful lot that you could do, that you might send somebody maybe to a details page for that particular session that they've just created. You might send them back to the index page. Really kind of up to you to decide at this point what's going to be most appropriate. So in my case, I'm going to go ahead and say, let's say return, redirect to action, and let's just send you back to the index. So that way, after you've created it, we'll just send you back to the full list.
Yep. So you've created something, now you can see it in the context of that full list.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Now, I do have two problems right now with my action. Number one is that if everything succeeds, here's what's going to happen. You're going to click on that little button, it's going to create, in our case, the session, and then all of a sudden you're going to see a list of sessions. Okay, did it work? Did it not work? What happened? All I know is I hit submit and I'm now getting a list. So again, we want to be able to send some information down to the user. Mm. So the easiest way to do this in this case is just to use temp data. So again, going back to something that John had mentioned a couple minutes ago, you know, sometimes it's just easy, just throw it into the bag, be done with it, temp data, and let's go ahead and say created, and let's say session title. All right. So there is our little, whoops, what am I doing? I'm doing this, message. There we go. See, we're really cooking here on
perfect.
This show. There we go, much better. That looks better. All right, the other item is, what happens if something goes wrong? So we wanna make sure that we're going to display some information out to the user. The first thing that could go wrong is they could give us bad data. Mm-hmm. Very easy way to check this.
Now, you've already said what you want that data to look like, right? You put annotations, you put all that work into saying, well, this is a required field, or this is email address, that kind of thing.
Exactly. So all I have to do is just simply say, hey, this is valid. That's it. Does it look good? That's all I have to say. And if it's not valid, now what I can do is I can then send back some form of an error page or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. In my case, I just want to send you back to the initial form, and we'll let the form display the error messages. And I'm going to do that by simply saying return view, and we'll pass back in the session. This is a little thing. This actually, when I first got into MVC, I can't tell you the number of hours that I stared at this and could not figure out for the life of me why this wasn't working. That I would go in, I would create a form, I would pass in bad data because, you know, I'm trying to test things, I'd hit create, and then all of a sudden I'd get back a blank form. What happened? And the whole thing was that, and you'll see this a lot of times with some of some generated code or otherwise, is that it will just simply say return view and not pass anything inside of there.
Yeah.
Well, I want to see the bad values. So make sure when you're displaying back the error message to actually pass back the bad object, so that way all the information will be back inside the form again.
I want to point out just a couple of things here.
Yeah.
This model state dot is valid thing is huge. That saves a lot of time. So when I was starting out learning MVC, I worried that I was going to need to write a lot more code. And I find out usually I actually write a lot less code.
Yep.
Because I'm doing a lot less mapping. I'm doing a lot less validation. I'm doing a lot less if this is this, then do this. It's a lot more I define what my model should look like. And then I say, if it's not valid, make them enter it again. And that's yep. that, right? So that's one big thing. Another thing is that web forms actually, so the teams that build the ASP.NET team, it's one ASP.NET, and they share features back and forth quite a bit. So actually in ASP.NET 4.5, they've got a lot of these model binding features. So you can, any model aware control can use something like a controller action to get its data or to update its data. And then also, you can use a model. You define your model, and you say, this is a required field. This is an email type. And then all you need to do is say, if model state dot is valid or is not valid, and write your logic there. So if you don't know about that, there's information on the ASP.NET site, looking on the web forums under ASP.NET 4.5. And I highly recommend you learn about that. I only bring it up because no web forums developers that I talk to seem to know about this, and it's a huge feature, and it's really compelling.
Yep, so, absolutely.
Back to you.
Back to me. Actually, back to code. So while John was talking over there, one of the things that I did behind the scenes is I also added in just some very basic try-catch. Again, yes, 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 we're taking shortcuts. Obviously, I don't want to display out the exception message,
yep.
but you'll notice that I am just going to go ahead and pass that in, which actually leads us perfectly to the next little point, that if something does go wrong, if there is an error that you want to display out to the user, you want to do this basically the exact same way that MVC does it. So MVC is going to have a series of model errors, and you just simply add that in, give it a name, and pass in whatever text it is that you want. And then once again, down below, you'll notice that we're going to return back the session. All right. So there is our couple of little actions. There is our little controller. The last thing that I want to mention about this before we kick back to slides is I just want to highlight this part right here. I'm inheriting from a class.
Yep.
Stop me if you've heard this before. This is just a class with methods. The reason that I'm highlighting it this time is, let's say that what I'm looking for is the exact same thing over and over again, that I'm just looking for my typical CRUD, my typical create, retrieve, update, delete. So I'm going to have an index, which is going to give me everything. I'm going to have a create, which is going to allow you to create a brand new item. You know what? Let's go ahead and centralize that code somewhere. Let's go ahead, create a controller. Let's put all of that on there. Maybe take advantage of generics. I love generics. Maybe take advantage of generics, and let's centralize that inside of one spot. So that way, if I create a brand new controller, and what I'm looking for is the CRUD operations, I can just simply inherit from that controller that I've already created that has all that generic code for me. So it becomes that much easier. So like John was talking about before, when you first see this, you immediately go, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to write a whole lot of code. And you don't. Mm-hmm. That if you take proper advantage of what's already there, and if you take proper advantage of just object-oriented development, just doing inheritance, it will in the long run save you a lot of code, save you a lot of work.
One more thing to point out here too. I think during the when we look at views, I'm going to be using scaffolding,
mm-hmm.
and we'll show that it actually the code that Christopher has been writing here is exactly like what you will get. It looks almost identical to what you'll get from scaffolding. You right click and you say create a controller
yep.
based on this model type, and it will create the controller and the views, all the edit stuff, and so it'll write this code. But we're writing it by hand because we care about you. because we want you to see how the magic works and why it works, right?
Exactly.
Can we go back to that controller real quick? I just want to point out a few magical things. So the context is what allows us. Some people said, where is the database created and what's going on with that?
Yep.
So that context is our interface with the database. We could put it in a repository here.
Yep.
It's right in the controller.
Yep.
And so that allows us on the line below to say context.sessions.toList. So we just say, there is a collection of, mm-hmm. and that's that DB set,
yep.
and the entity framework DB set then knows, oh, I'm an empty list and I shouldn't be, I'm going to go to the database and fill myself up.
Yep.
And then if you can go down to the the action result there, you've got the create and it takes a session.
Yep.
So that's model binding.
Yes.
You mentioned model binding earlier, and that's the magic of there's a form that's posted back in. And so when I fill in the thing, I say this is whatever a session, you know, fill in the form for a session. Model binding is what says, okay, an HTML form has been submitted to me. I know what a session object is. I know how to read HTML. And it just matches that stuff up.
Yep.
And it says, speaker first name goes here.
Yep.
You know, session ID goes here. And so then you can say, is my model state valid? And if not, and then once you know it's valid, you have a valid session object.
Yep.
That session model is populated, it's validated, it's ready to go.
Yep.
So not much code at that point.
No, right? No, not at all. And by the way, one of the things that, if we kick back to the code, that you may notice here, and for those of you who spotted this, congratulations, you get the gold star for the day, that right down here, we do have two separate methods for create, or two separate actions for create. That you'll notice that we've got one without parameters, and then you'll notice that we've got one with parameters. So the question then becomes, is how is MVC going to know which one to call? And there's a couple of different ways that you can manage this. One way is just by identifying the particular method for posting the data back or sending the data back. And so what I'm going to do on the second one here is I'm going to flag that as HTTP post. So that way, this is going to be you hit submit on the form, and all that information is going to come back into the header. So based on the verb that's going to be used, it's then going to know to call that create. The default is get. Now, some people like to put comments on that. So they'll go ahead and say, for example, session create, maybe put like a post in front of that, mm-hmm. do the exact same thing up top, just to go ahead and kind of flag that out there. I've even seen from time to time, just to be explicit about it, that people will just go ahead and say HTTP get, even if that is the default. And it's completely up to you to decide how you like to do things.
Yep.
Okay. I'm just going to clean that up.
While you're doing that, I just want to say, I had somebody ask on the chat if this is live. This is indeed live. So
yes.
If you don't believe it, I just...
Yep, exactly. This is live. This is, what is it?
That's September. The magic that allows us to write more bugs.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. All right. yes, it is currently 10:55 Pacific Daylight Time on Tuesday, September 17th, 2013.
All right, then.
AD. AD, yes. All right. So, waiting for the slide to kick back up. All right. The last thing that we want to mention about our actions are filters. Mm-hmm. And what filters will allow us to do is modify the behavior of our actions. So if we're trying to do any form of authentication authorization, if we're trying to do things like logging, caching, or otherwise, this is going to be done through filters. One of the little things to keep in mind about doing MVC is the way that you call the action is based on the route. The routes can always change. Mm-hmm. So if you start putting a lot of things inside of, say, like the web.config based on URLs, that may change at some later point, and now all of a sudden you've got a whole bunch of broken code. So it's best if we can just simply say right on top of the action, hey, you have to be an administrator to call this, or hey, this must be done by utilizing SSL. And this is where our filters come into play. They allow us to modify how our actions are going to behave. And you'll notice with our filters that we have authorization filters. Make sure, for example, you're an administrator. We've got action filters, which are going to run before and after the actual action method. Our result filters, before mm-hmm. the result, after the result is returned. And then finally, our exception filters, so that way when inevitably something goes wrong, that we can display out a very friendly error message out to our users. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to our controller real briefly here. And let's add in a filter. So let's say, for example, on our create, that we want to make sure that you are at least logged in. Now, normally what you would do if you were doing web forms is you'd fire up the web.config, say authorize, and then go and say allow users, deny users, and away you go. Well, in here, we're going to do that by using an action filter. So on my code, right up top of my create, I'm going to add in our little filter and just simply say authorize. That's it. And on my authorize, I could either just simply say authorize, which would mean that you'd have to be logged in, or I could go in and say something like roles equals, and then add in, say for example, administrators. So you'd have to be a member of the administrators group to be able to access that action.
And this just falls back to the built-in authorization filter,
yep.
right? And that runs on top of the simple ASP.NET identity system that's mm-hmm. been there forever. And so it'll just, just that one line of code that you put there that said authorize roles equals administrators, that's all you have to do.
Yep.
And that requires, in order to access anything, any of those action methods on that controller, the user has to be logged in and has to be in the administrator role.
Exactly. So if we go back to the code here, if I, let's just take that away, if I put that up top on my controller, now everything inside that controller.
So you can put this on a class or
yep.
on an action method.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
You'll also notice, let's say that we wanted to do something globally. Like, let's say we wanted to require SSL globally, or we wanted to set up our exception handling globally. What you'll notice inside of the app start, I was trying to get too cute by just touching everything with my finger, there is inside of here a little filter config. And our filter config is where all of those types of global attributes go. So there is globally the handle error attribute, which is going to handle the error handling, the redirects.
And that filter is living in the filters folder, right?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, so if we go into our filters folder, inside of here, we can add in
membership
our filters. Yeah, that's
this
our membership
one's built
one.
In
yeah, that one's built in. But there's our membership one. And again, sticking with the whole convention, you know, need somewhere to put your filters? You can put them there. Again, not required,
yep.
but best practice, put them inside of there. So if I want to globally turn on SSL, I could go in and say filters, add, and then new, require HTTPS attribute. Boom. And now, just like that, this site is going to require SSL.
Okay. So we've got routing points.
Yep.
Routing points a request URL to a specific controller action.
Yep.
Sometimes you want code to happen before or after different parts of that chain.
Yep.
And you also want your controller code to be very lightweight. And in order to make it lightweight, you don't want to have a bunch of code in your controller action saying, is this person authorized? Is this SSL? Is this blah, blah, blah? And so that's why you put those into a filter. And that's you can abstract that outside and just drop an attribute on your method or your controller class.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's it.
I've got one important question that came up. Are we about done
yeah.
with this?
Yep.
One important question that's come up in the chat is, what about view models?
You know, and that was something we sort of danced around,
yeah.
but we never actually said the phrase view models.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the idea is, in this sample, we have had a session model, and that maps directly to a database,
mm-hmm.
Database table. And that works a lot of the time. But there are times where, say, for instance, you're in a store, you're checking out from the store. You have user information, you have a list of products, you have maybe some other information about, you know, the total and all that. And so what's done in that case is your models don't have to map to a database.
Right.
So you can make a kind of a meta object where you roll all that stuff up. So in that case, I could create a shopping cart information view model,
mm-hmm.
a shopping cart view model, right? And I could create a view models folder. I could put it wherever I want. I create a class,
mm-hmm.
and it holds maybe a list of products and a user and maybe a message and whatever, product total. And then I return that to the view. So the idea is that you can, your models, this is called a view model pattern, and it's similar to MVVM, but it's really, you should think of it different. So
right.
it's a view specific model,
yep.
and it's only used to bundle up information and pass it to the view.
Yep.
So that, I think that's and that's covered in the course materials more. It's important to at least mention here that, you know, we're covering the simple case of models mapping to a database and being passed to a view. But
right.
in the real world, a lot of the time they're not going to map cleanly. That you don't want to go and say, oh, I need to start adding a bunch of stuff to my models. Your
right.
models really should be lightweight, and they should map more to your business domain. And your view model should be, well, my view needs some information and package it up for me.
That's
right?
exactly it.
Yep. Okay.
All right. What do you say we come back in 10?
Sounds good.
All right. Let's do that.